Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, July 2nd, 2022. We'll start with a story titled Featured Performer, Former Janitor Goodall Headlines Covington's 4th of July Celebration. And this is written by Sue Laughlin at the CNHI News in Indiana, Terre Haute, Indiana. And there's a picture of Vigo County School Cooperation Custodian and America's Got Talent winner Richard Goodall greets students as they pass between classes on May 29th at West Vigo Middle School. Goodall has announced he is retiring from the corporation. And then there's a picture of the days of swinging mops and emptying trash cans will be coming to an end as Vigo County School Corporation janitor Richard Goodall has retired. His singing career will continue, but Richard Goodall's days of waxing floors and wiping cafeteria tables as a full-time Vigo County School Corporation custodian are over. Goodall, Terre Haute's celebrated singing janitor who won America's Got Talent in season 19, decided to retire from his full-time custodial duties with the Vigo County School Corporation. His last day with students was Friday, May 29th. He's worked for the CSC for 25 years. Goodall, who is 56, announced his retirement on social media. This morning it hit me, this will be my last day of the school. Retirement coming soon and moving to the next season of life, he wrote. Thank you and stay tuned and see the next phase of my journey. In a trash talk social media video post as he disposed of trash at a dumpster, he got emotional. I'm having a hard time holding it together on this one, Goodall said. 25 years, man, I was a light when it was quiet from 6 to 7 a.m., but when kids hit the hallways, it hit me hard, he said. A long time, cleaning and taking care of the babies. It's tough and scary moving into the next phase. Entertainment isn't exactly the most stable thing in the world. He talked about the first time he walked across the AGT stage, which aired on television 2 years ago. I never dreamed when I walked across that stage all the things that would happen and all the people who love and support me, he said, including his wife, Angie, her family, and now his own family, his dad, brother, and two sisters. Last year, he found and met his biological father, Hubert, as well as his three siblings who with him share the same mother, thanks to research on Ancestry.com by his wife, Angie Vanoven, and a research angel friend. Man, it's a lot to take in, Goodall said. As he closed out the video, he said, love you all, and thanks for your support. On the last day of school Friday, students at West Vigo Middle School gave him his fist bumps and said goodbye. Some were surprised to learn he was retiring. Every year, a different set of students connected with him. There are some kids who come up and hug him every single day, he said. You're that constant thing in their life. It's going to be tough to leave that and go into the unknown. He'll continue performing with Sugar Street Band and making other musical appearances. Included in those performances is a show this Friday at the Covington 4th of July celebration. Goodall will take the stage at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday, July 3rd at Covington City Park. He's also working with his managers and there potentially could be some more major projects in the future. At the end of the year, he'll be flying to Hong Kong for a concert with a full orchestra. I never sang with a full orchestra before, he said. He also plans to spend more time doing things he enjoys, including fishing and spending time with family. He likened retiring to ripping the Band-Aid off. If you keep putting it off, you'll never do it. After winning AGT, he thought about doing entertainment full-time, but money-wise, it didn't make sense, he said. Not that it really makes sense now to retire, but the end of the school year seemed to make the more sense. Also, working as a school custodian and having a daily routine helped him stay grounded, he said. I'm very much a routine person. He isn't ruling out the possibility of working as a substitute VCSC custodian in the future. Goodall's singing and personal story as a longtime Vigo County School Corporation custodian Achieving his dream captivated not only AGT judges, but people across the United States, and even internationally. Sorry about that. Anyway, that's pretty cool. Next story is titled Pritzker Issues Disaster Proclamation, and this is written by Brendan Moore in Capital News, Illinois, in Springfield. And there's a picture of Tim Keister of rural Effingham County points to remnants of a barn that had hay in it. His home in the distance was spared damage from the storm. Governor J.B. Pritzker on Tuesday issued a state disaster proclamation for 11 counties ravaged by severe weather this spring and early summer. The proclamation covers Kankakee, McLean, Stevenson, and Winnebago counties for severe weather events that took place in March and April, and Coles, Cook, Effingham, Jefferson, LaSalle, Warren, and Woodford counties for storms events over the past month. It comes amid a record stretch of severe weather in the land of Lincoln. Midway through the year, the National Weather Service has already confirmed 173 tornadoes in Illinois, the most recorded in one single year. Several communities have also sustained damage from flooding, hail, and straight-line winds. Illinois has faced unprecedented severe weather this year, and I remain committed to support every community, business, and family as they rebuild, Pritzker said in a statement. As communities recover, we remember the lives that were lost and hold the families and loved ones in our thoughts during the difficult times. Pritzker visited Effingham and Jefferson counties on Wednesday. An EF3 tornado ripped through the area on June 17th, injuring two people and damaging dozens of structures. He surveyed damage in Coles County earlier this month after an EF2 tornado hit. The governor also visited Kankakee County in March, days after an EF3 tornado tore through and killed three people. This proclamation frees up additional state resources and personnel for response and recovery operations, and can facilitate requests for state and federal disaster relief. Communities in impacted counties, for example, can now apply for up to $250,000 through the Community Development Block Grant, known as CDBG, Disaster Response Program, to assist with cleanup, debris removal, and public infrastructure repairs. Pritzker said last week that he expects the state to seek additional federal assistance for the June tornadoes, either through the Federal Emergency Management Agency or Small Business Administration, though state officials are still working with local officials to assess damage and determine whether it meets eligibility for federal assistance programs. State and federal agencies completed their damage assessments in Kankakee on March 30th, but the state did not ultimately seek FEMA assistance, though the SBA did approve low-interest emergency loans for small businesses and uninsured damage. Pritzker told reporters in Chicago last week that applying for a federal disaster declaration doesn't help if there's no way that the damage estimate will get anywhere near the number necessary to qualify. The governor was critical of the Trump administration for cutting back funding for disaster relief and seemingly denying it for political reasons. A political analysis found Democrat-led states saw just 23% of their disaster requests granted in the first year of Trump's second term, compared to 89% for their Republican counterparts. They've raised the thresholds for getting support. They've made it harder for communities to get support, Pritzker said. It's quite disappointing, and I continue to be an advocate for it maintaining the FEMA funds that were available prior, because unfortunately, climate change has now brought more disasters on a more frequent basis. Capital News is a nonprofit partisan news service that distributes state's government coverage to hundreds of news outlets statewide. Next story is titled County Mental Health Board Hires Kinnett, and this is written by a staff reporter in Danville. Beth Kinnett was recently named the executive director for the Vermilion County 708 Mental Health Board, according to a release from Russell Hyatt, chairman of the Vermilion County Mental Health 708 Board. Kinnett has extensive experience in working with services that administer to mental health needs of our community. Kinnett recently served as the executive director of the Hoopston Multi-Agency for the last 8 years. Best leadership and administrative skills expanded and stabilized the agency's viability in the Hoopston area, the release states. In addition to her work with the Hoopston Multi-Agency, Beth was also the administrator of the Vermilion County Mental Health First Aid Grant, where she served as a mental health first aid instructor. Beth has been a mental health first aid instructor for the last 10 years, training nearly 5,000 individuals in either the youth or adult curriculum. Beth will continue facilitating these trainings in her new role. Before becoming the executive director of the Hoopston Multi-Agency, Kinnett worked with Aunt Martha's in Danville, training individuals in mental health first aid and worked crisis intervention. Kinnett has experience with the youth after 21 years as an elementary school teacher in Attica, Indiana. The Vermilion County Mental Health 708 gained respect from our peers, the various social service agencies, and private service providers attending to mental health issues, the release states. There has been substantial quantified success in meeting the mental health needs of the people in our area. The services reported by the 708 Board have expanded over the years thanks to the commitment of the Vermilion County Board. We are excited to incorporate the talent and expertise of Beth's experience to lead the Vermilion County Mental Health 708 Board into the future as we continue to aggressively address and administer to mental health needs of our communities. And there's a picture of Beth Kinnett, and I pronounce it Kinnett because I went to school with a girl with that same spelling. It's K-N-E-C-H-T, so hope I was right. There's only one obituary today. Stephen Steve Gene Trosper, 77, of Perrysville, Indiana, passed away Friday, June 26, at the Lane House, surrounded by his family. He had fought a brave battle with skin cancer for several years. Visitation will be held on July 2nd from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. EST time at Sunset Funeral Home at Diverter Chapel at 215 North Division Street in Cayuga, Indiana. A funeral service will follow at 1 p.m. EST time at the funeral home, officiated by Pastor John Godfuss. Burial will follow at Hicks Cemetery in Perryville, Indiana. The family would like to thank the Lane House and Franciscan Hospice for the wonderful care he received. Next story is titled Georgetown Man Found Guilty of Burglary, written by a staff reporter in Danville. Brett McGehee, 44, of Georgetown, was found guilty by a Vermilion County jury of burglary, a Class 2 felony, on Tuesday, June 23rd, at the Rita B. Garman Courthouse. According to a release from the state's attorney office, the people presented evidence that on September 12, 2023, the Vermilion County Sheriff's Department responded in reference to a burglary. The victim reported that she and her husband had followed a truck from their property on Newell Road to a recycling business after the occupants of the truck had stolen several items from the victim's garage. McGehee and a co-defendant, Gustavo Vargas, claimed that they had been hired by an individual to clean up the property from which they removed the items. Investigators verified the contact information provided by the co-defendants for the alleged hiring individual, but it was found to be invalid. State's Attorney Jacqueline Lacey said, "We thank the jury for their careful service," said state's attorney. "This guilty verdict holds the defendant accountable for a serious crime, and we hope the victims feel a sense of closure." Lacey also thanked the Vermilion County Sheriff's Department for their work in the case. The case was prosecuted by the first assistant state's attorney, Kevin Schneider, and assistant state's attorney, Lane Roberts. The trial was presided over by Judge Karen Wall. A sentencing hearing is scheduled in the case for August 7th. Vargas was sentenced to 24 months of second chance probation for burglary on August 7th of 2025. Next story is road closure to impact SR 234 in Park and Vermilion counties, written by a staff reporter. The Indiana Department of Transportation announces a road closure that will impact State Road 234 in Park and Vermilion counties. According to the news release by NDOT, beginning on or after Monday, July 6, contractors will close SR 234 between SR 63 and Coal Creek, which is located just west of County Road 600 West in Park County. The purpose of the closure is for pavement restoration and to replace some culverts in the area. Construction is anticipated to last through November, but is weather dependent and subject to change. The official detour around the closure follows SR 63 to SR 32 to US 41 back to SR 234. While the road will be closed to through traffic, all local access will be maintained to area homes and businesses. NDOT encourages drivers to seek an alternate route and to use caution while traveling in and around the work zones. Motorists in West Central Indiana can monitor road closures, road conditions, and traffic alerts anytime via Facebook at n.west-central-x, formerly Twitter, n.w/w-central, and traffic-wise, 511n.org, or the mobile app at iTunes App Store and the Google Play Store for Android. Next, state police conducts alcohol patrols in July in Pisotum. Illinois State Police, known as ISP Troop 7 Commander Captain Heather Apperson, announced on Tuesday that the state police will be conducting alcohol countermeasure enforcement, known as ACE, patrols in Vermilion County this month. According to the release from Apperson, ACE patrols allow the ISP to focus on preventing, detecting, and taking enforcement action in response to violations associated with impaired driving and illegal transportation or consumption of alcohol or drugs. The ISP has zero tolerance for impaired driving in Illinois. Officers working the detail will be watchful for motorists who show signs of impaired driving, operating vehicles in an unsafe manner, driving with a suspended or revoked driver's license, and transporting open alcohol beverages, as well as improper seatbelt and child restraint usage, distracted driving, and other Illinois vehicle code violations. Alcohol and drug impairment are estimated to be a factor in more than 47% of all fatal motor vehicle crashes in Illinois. There is one alcohol-related traffic fatality every 39 minutes in the United States. The ACE program allows officers to work even harder at removing dangerous DUI offenders from the road. The project is funded through the Illinois Department of Transportation. Next story is titled Gifts from Dr. Frey Enhanced Patient Care at Horizon Health. And this is written by a staff reporter in Paris. And there's a picture of Dr. Marilyn Frey Center poses for a photo with a vital signs monitor with electrocardiogram capability that she donated to Horizon Health in Paris. Joining her in the photo are, from left to right, Marin Beau, RN, Jana Ramsey, RN, Rhonda Hess, Infusion Center Coordinator, Dr. Frey, Jenna Forster, Infusion Center Supervisor, Elizabeth Bentley, CNA, and Carmen Rowe, RN. Psychologist Marilyn Frey's latest gifts to the Horizon Health Foundation are enhancing patient care across Horizon Health. I like to donate medical equipment for direct patient care. That is very important to me, said Dr. Frey. A longtime supporter of Horizon Health, Dr. Frey's donations are benefiting three key areas: infusion center, two vital sign monitors with EKGs capability, and a blanket warming cabinet for patients receiving IV therapy. Respiratory Therapy Department, a 3-in-1 medical ventilator that combines three respiratory therapies into a single portable unit. Cardiopulmonary Rehab Program, 10 Holter monitors that enable clinicians to continuously record heart rhythms and detect arrhythmia. Amy Johnson, outpatient service manager, said the vital sign monitor's ability to track heart rhythms is especially important for infusion center patients receiving certain chemotherapy medications. We appreciate Dr. Frey's generosity, she said. It means a lot to our patients. Johnson added the blanket warmers improves comfort during lengthy infusion visits, particularly for patients experiencing chemotherapy-related neuropathy. In the cardiopulmonary rehab program, manager Shannon Jones said the Holter monitors will help reduce wait times and improve care efficiency. Dr. Frey has always been a strong supporter of our department, Jones said. We are deeply grateful for her continued commitment for enhancing patient care. According to Cicely Taylor, respiratory therapy manager, the ventilator will streamline patient care by allowing staff to transition seamlessly between therapies without changing machines. Its portability also enables it to be used throughout the hospital, including the inpatient unit and emergency departments. Dr. Frey's generosity is undeniable. It's a beautiful thing to see, Taylor said. Dr. Frey is renowned throughout the community for her volunteer service and her global contributions to the field of psychology. Through this donation, she also honored several individuals who have supported local health care, including family members Alfonso and Nancy Frey, as well as Dr. R.H. McKnight and his wife, Bertha. That's kind of nice. On page two, there's a picture, and it's titled Lifetime Commitment Award. And it states Rodney Settle, shown here posing for a photo with his wife Jill and his family, received the Lifetime Commitment Award from the Ileana Antique Automobile Club on Saturday, June 27th, during Arts in the Park at Ellsworth Park in Danville. This honor recognizes his 22 years of dedication for facilitating the Arts on Wheels car show at Arts in the Park. In addition to managing the car show, Rodney also served on the Arts in the Park Board of Directors. The award was presented by Alan Shepard, an Ileana Antique Automobile Club member, and this year's car show organizer. Try to get through this story. It's pretty long, but Godal's journey draws interest from Hollywood, and it's definitely not stopped believing. Written by Sue Laughlin in Terre Haute, Indiana. Singing janitor Richard Godal may be subject of feature film for Vigo County. Deadline Hollywood, a source for breaking news in the entertainment industry, first reported on Godal's movie. He's at the center of a deal with Ever Entertainment and Mad Chance to turn his impossible story into a feature film. Everett's Ben Everett and Mad Chance's Andrew Lazar are producing, a Deadline Hollywood reported online. In the Deadline story, Everett is quoted as saying Richard Godal's unbelievable journey from sweeping hallways to the center of television's biggest stage is the epitome of the American dream. Like the millions worldwide, I was captivated the moment he stepped foot on the audition stage. Bringing his journey to the silver screen is an honor we take seriously. Godal won America's Got Talent in 2024. The Journey song Don't Stop Believin' made him a social media sensation in 2022 after he was recorded singing the song during a year-end program at Davis Park Elementary. A TikTok video received millions of views. In an email interview Thursday, Everett was asked about the status of the project. We are having conversations with talent, which is potential filmmakers and actors. Our plan is to package the project and then bring it to the market. We have the critical piece of the puzzle in place already, a tremendously inspiring true story and an excellent script worthy of it. As far as timeline, we are proceeding as quickly as possible and want to be on set ASAP, but the Hollywood precise timing is always a moving target, Avard said. He added, we fully intend to make a film great a great film worthy of the great story. Asked why he chose Godal's story for the subject of the movie, he stated, "Richard is a true underdog story, and the idea of chasing a dream of your at the age of 55 is incredibly relatable and inspiring. Everyone respects the man who walks in the arena and showcases his abilities, and the world generally rallies behind one who does so and wins. Richard's story has it all. From Indiana to Hollywood, he's not only wins, but he found true love and eventually met his biological father who he didn't know existed. If it weren't all true, it would be too unbelievable to be a movie," Evard stated. In an interview with the Tribune Star Wednesday, Godal said the movie is still a work in progress, but he added, "The Deadline story is a positive indication that something really good is going forward." Asked his reaction, Godal said, "It's very flattering, but I'm still the same person. I don't think my life is any more special than anyone else's. From winning America's Got Talent to now, a possible movie about his life, I've never dreamed all of this would happen. Who makes this stuff up? I'm just a regular guy." Godal said he also is excited about many other developments in his life, including future musical performances. His life will change after Friday when he officially retires as a Vigo County School Corporation custodian. Godal and Edward reached out to him after he won America's Got Talent. "He found me through Howie Mandel because they have done a movie together," Godal said. Shortly after, Godal said he signed an agreement with him. Godal's singing and personal story as a longtime Vigo County School Corporation custodian achieving his dream captivated not only AGT judges but people across the United States and internationally. In the Deadline story, Andrew Lazar is quoted as saying, "Godal's story is one of never giving up your dreams, no matter what your circumstances are or your age. No doubt this film will resonate with audiences around the world." The script is written by Chris Perazzo, according to the publication. It's pretty cool. We'll run through community briefs. Danville Township sponsors fireworks. Danville Township continues its tradition of sponsoring fireworks at the Danville Dance on Thursday, July 2nd at Danville Stadium when the Dans host the Champion City Half Tracks. First pitch is set for 6:30 p.m. with the fireworks following the 9-inning game. Danville Township is celebrating its 175th birthday, along with the United States of America's 250th and Vermilion County's 200th. First Saturday at the War Museum. The War Museum at 307 North Vermilion Street in Danville will feature free admission all day Saturday, July 4th, with a special emphasis on the early American section of the museum. During tours, attendees will learn about the Revolutionary War soldiers who settled in Vermilion County, the war itself, women of Revolution, and the Illinois country during the Revolution. The War Museum, located in the 1903 Carnegie Library Building, is open from noon to 4 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday. For more information, call 217-431-0034. And Amish author visits Danville. Kevin Williams, the editor of the Amish Cook and Visiting Silk and Spine Books and Antique. Cook is visiting Silk and Spine Books and Boutique at 137 North Vermilion Street in Danville to sign copies of his new book, "By My Adventures Among the Amish Mennonites, Shakers, and the Other People." The event will be held 2 p.m. on July 23rd at Silk and Spines at 137 North Vermilion Street in Danville. An airport meeting set for July 16th. Vermilion Regional Airport will hold its July meeting at 4 p.m. on Thursday, July 16th. For more information, contact Tracy Van Doon, Assistant Airport Manager at 217-442-4642. 4624. Sorry about that. So that'll be it for today, Thursday, July 2nd. Looks like it's going to be a hot and muggy week, a little rain Saturday, but hopefully we'll get the parade and the celebrations off. I hope you all enjoy the 250-year celebration and have a good week and try to stay cool. Hopefully I'll see you again next week. Take care.